Amen. Now let us once again seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we bless Thee that so many of us this morning can testify that every one of these words that we have been singing are true, that by grace Thou hast made us to see and hear and to live. And Lord, it is our longing in our hearts and prayer that not just many of us, but that all of us, all together, would come to experience of the same salvation in Jesus Christ. And so we pray that Thy word would come not as a word of man, but as a word from heaven, bringing conviction, bringing in some forms a wounding of our souls, and that through Jesus Christ bring us healing and life and true eternal blessedness of knowing the Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, friends, turn to your Bibles, please, to that passage that we read together in Ephesians chapter 2. And the hymn that we were singing of is a wonderful description of those verses that we have before us here, of God's grace in giving life, quickening. That's what that word means. When the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, "And you hath He quickened," he's talking to Christians. He's saying to them that there was a time that you were dead, but it is God who quickened you, who made you alive. A dead person cannot give himself life. A dead person, you can throw him a rope, but cannot take hold of it. However much we try and however much we cry to him, and yet a person who's been made alive, then it is that, then that takes hold of the rope of salvation. What the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us as the preaching goes forth, as the reading of the Word of God goes forth. And here the Bible speaks very bluntly and very truthfully. But at the same time, as it is blunt and it can very much cut deep in the soul, the Lord has inspired the words that all is not lost. Man is lost, but God has done something about it. And so in verse 4, after condemning man and after showing mankind what we are like, he says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, what did He do? Hath quickened us together with Christ. And goes on to speak, but now in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What a message this is. What a wonderful thing. It doesn't just condemn us, but it points us to the Savior. And that's what I want us to do this morning. That is my desire for each one of us. Because what we have before us in these verses 2 and 3 that I want us to think about, the Scripture is speaking about the state of mankind by nature. In those verses, it speaks about you. This is in verse 2. He says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That is, he's talking to the Ephesians. These are Gentiles. These are the non-Jews. And then in verse 3, he says, among whom also we all had our conversation. He's referring to the Jews as we. And so he's saying both Jews and Gentiles, as the whole chapter, if you go on, speaks about the circumcision and uncircumcision, meaning the Gentiles and the Jews. He says, all of us in the same condition. All of us are lost, and all of us need a Savior. And so we are all in the same boat here. Someone spoke to me recently and said, but you're a pastor. Well, you are this. You've had this education. You preach the Word of God. I said, but I am in the same boat as you are. I need this sinner. But the issue is, our boat has Christ in it. That's the thing. That's the matter. We are all in the same boat together. But Christ is there if you are His. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what storms of life we experience. We have Him. And here the Apostle Paul again and again basically says this. The Lord Jesus Christ changes all. The Lord Jesus Christ changes all. This is what the world is like. But Jesus Christ changes all. There is hope, my friend, this morning. I don't know the condition of your heart. Some of you, I know, you still do not profess faith. Some of you children, you would say, I'm not a Christian. Or some adults here. Some of you don't know. But I ask you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and see that it is only through Jesus Christ. It's not through you, but it's through Jesus Christ that He changes all. He changes you. He has all power to change sinners from a state of death to a state of eternal life. Not just mere life that would die, but eternal life. And so the apostle says, and you hath He quickened, made alive. And then he goes on to speak and say to these Ephesians, and he's speaking to Christians here, he says, look at what you used to be like. You were dead before, and this is what it means to be dead. So it's a very serious message, this. But with it, I trust you appreciate all the tone, the undertone of it. This is what we are, but look at Jesus Christ. Look at what He does for us. And so here, the subject is the walking dead. Those who are walking in this world and who are spiritually dead, this is what their characteristics are like of those people who are, as it says in verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins. And if you're a child of God, you would see yourself in this, in some form, in some way. This is what I used to be. And this is an encouragement for us, maybe a reminder for us, because there is a danger for us to forget and to let the world and the various temptations to come and take hold of things and make us miserable. And so I trust it will help you. And if you are not a Christian, I hope it will help you to see, is this me? Am I pictured here? Is this the mirror that I can see my face in it? Is this my character? The first thing I want to say is this, friends, that those who are spiritually dead, here it says that they are deceived. The scripture says they are deceived. In verse 2, let's read it again together. Wherein, he says, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And here, the apostle is speaking to everybody. Everybody, that's our condition. This is what we have been. If you're a Christian, you can look back in your life. But if you're not a Christian, you can say, this is me right now. And what the apostle is saying, this is why the world is like this. This is what sin has done, and it's brought death. And this is what the characteristics of people who are dead is like. The fault is not with God. The fault is with us and what sin does. And what he's saying here is that the spiritually dead world, those who are walking dead, they are marching, as it were, marching forward in this world. There's a progress. He says, wherein in time past, verse 2, ye walked. This means goes forward. You went forward in your walk according to the course of this world. And there are several words here that needs to be explained. And for us to understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here, he's saying this is the character of a non-Christian. And maybe you can put yourself in that. situation. He says, this is the character. You walked. What does that mean? It is to do with making your way somewhere. It is meaning your conduct of your life. This is the walk. This is the path that I am treading, you would say. This is the course of my life. This is my conduct. This is how my life is regulated. This is how I am living my life. This is how I am passing my life. It's talking about pattern. It's talking about thinking, behavior. And so it says of the course, it says, you walked according to the course of this world. What does that mean, the course of this world? It means the course has to do with period of time. It has to do with age. It's translated elsewhere, ages or forever. It refers to the enormous amount of time. As long as I have been living in this way or walking in this way, I've been thinking like everybody else. I've been thinking like, it says the world. The world. This is not talking about the earth. It's talking about the world system. The way the world operates, the way people think, the way people behave, the way people respond to things. And my life has been like that. My intentions have been like that. My aims have been like that. That's where I wanted to, what I wanted to achieve and have. And these are the things that would, I felt that make me happy in life. This is the thing I want to arrive at. And I was comparing myself with this and that and the other. That's what he's saying. Is that you? Maybe this morning, you children, you adults, if you're not a Christian, you can look at your life and say, that's really it. The way I'm trying to study, it's not really to glorify God. I just want to pass the test. That was me, just passing the test, leaving everything till last minute, and then doing my revision work before the exam happens, and then after that, it's all deleted. That's why I've got very poor maths, and I can't add up very well. It's just, try and pass the exam, because everybody else did the same thing. But that's the way it is. And so there is, as it were, the Apostle Paul says that those who are not Christians, and those of you who used to be Christians, this is what your life was like. There's the beating of, as it were, the drumbeat of the world. And those who are dead, they walk to that tune, to that rhythm, going forward in this sense. And what God is telling us this morning is, here is what Christians were like. But Jesus Christ has changed them. The Lord Jesus Christ has done something miraculous in them. It wasn't just a little change here and there. It's a change altogether. Making someone from death, bringing someone from death to life. I says, we don't go back to that. We are not going forward with the drumbeat of the world. We're not marching forward with everybody else. We are going the opposite direction, opposite way. Our life, the source of our power and thoughts and the way we do things, the way we think about things, the philosophy of life is now different. Now it's the Lord. Now it's Jesus Christ. Now it's the Word of God. But in the past, and maybe some of you today, it is a sort of being participants in this pathetic parade that the Scripture speaks about. What is that? What is the drumbeat of the world? What is it that the Scripture speaks of in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3? We are given a list of variety of things that the world is beating. And to move forward in these things, these are the things that will result from walking and marching forward. It speaks about in Titus 3:3, in foolishness, in silly things, in things that are not really wise, in going and making decisions. Is this word foolish? It is being naive and making decisions in a naive fashion. And how rash we can make decisions. All of us have been there. Maybe some of us continue in that fashion. And then it says disobedient. Deceived. Serving diverse lusts. means serving, filling up various passions, various desires, sinful desires and pleasures. That's what the world is for, isn't it? Pleasures. I just want to please myself. I want to enjoy my life. Living in malice and envy and hating one another. Isn't there so much hatred in this world? But the Christian has been changed and saved. He doesn't walk in that way anymore, it's saying. That's the mark of a child of God. He's fighting against it. He's going against the tide. He's going against the people who are coming towards him. He's moving his way a different way. It is like being in the London Underground and you're trying to get to the tube and you can hear the bell ringing and there are people rushing out and you try to make your way. It is just like that, but in a spiritual sense. And this is the way. This is the life of so many people in this world, here the scripture says. But he says, that's what you used to be. But Jesus Christ has changed. And maybe this morning you're saying to yourself, that is me. That's my aims in life. That is what I have been, if I'm honest about it. And that's the pattern. And so many things that we tolerate today in this world, so many things that 20 years ago even, people would have been ashamed to speak of privately. Now it is broadcasted publicly. All kinds of shameful behaviors and unnatural behaviors and relationships and the kind of lifestyles people live, cheating and bad language and harshness and such things. They're all becoming mainstream. And most people barely bat an eye anymore in the presence of sin. And they don't feel ashamed about it. They publicly declare things and say things, and before children as well. Why is that? It is the course of this world. That's why. And so it is. And so the reason is because the lost are deceived. Those who are walking dead, they're deceived. They're marching, making progress. But it is in this world. And the Lord is saying here, but I can change all of that. You don't have to be like that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, through what he has done upon the cross, he gave his life so that people who are in this path, marching forward in the world, might not go through all the consequences of that path and then finally experience the just wrath of God. And so in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is freely given to us this mercy of the Lord in Jesus Christ. But then another thing that we see is something is referred to about the marching on a leash, I would say, here. It describes in that passage before us, and again in verse 2, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says there is a spiritual issue here. And there's a spirit here that is taking people and controlling people and leading people in a certain path. The reason people are going down these paths, because it is like a man who is going on a walk. He's walking his dog. His dog is on a leash. And the dog cannot simply go wherever he wants to go, but it's on a leash. And so the man walks down an alley, the dog then follows, and so on, going certain paths. And that's what he's saying here. According to, this is the path that he's walking, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This spirit, this power of the air, is talking about that Satan. It's speaking about that enemy of our souls, the devil, that old serpent, the scripture says that. He is the prince of the power of the air. And people act and live in certain ways, and you ask yourself, why is it that somebody cannot see this? It's because they have their blinkers on. Who has put these blinkers on? It is Satan. The God of this world, the scripture says, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. It's a fearful thing what we are talking about. But Jesus Christ is saying here in this passage, but you are not like that anymore. Why is that? Because, but God who is rich in mercy has taken away the blinkers. But God who is rich in mercy has given you life and has cut off the leash. And now you are in His arm. He is the one who takes you and carries you. He is the one who has made you to be His workmanship, doing of His good pleasure. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. How is that? By grace. By grace are you saved. And that is the gift of God. So this is what he's saying. Lost people, spiritually dead people, are going in certain path of this world because they are deceived by the world. And also they are deceived by Satan. And they are on a leash and being led. And you might say, this is the way it is. And I this is what I have been like. I've been doing things. And I look back and think, why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why did I make those decisions? And the reason is this. The reason is this. Were you being led by the Lord? No. Did you ever pray about these things and said, I will not do this thing until the Lord makes it definitely clear to me? Have you been seeking to follow what the Lord has said? Have you got the Lord Jesus Christ in your boat? Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ is, through His Spirit, who has inspired this word, is saying, I show mercy. I show compassion. I show my love. And I've demonstrated that upon the cross. And I demonstrated in the lives of all those who have trusted in me day by day. I will not leave them. And that is what is being said here. Speaking about, before we were children of disobedience. Before that, we were turning away from God's ways to our own way. We disobeyed the Lord. That it simply means we sinned against God. Sin is disobedience of the Word of God and the commands of God. That word disobedience, it has to do with stubbornness. It has to do with being obstinate, opposing God's will. And boys and girls, the scripture says about honoring and obeying your parents. And there's a picture here that if you stubbornly reject what your parents tell you and speak to you out of love, and you turn away and you do the very opposite of that, it's a picture. This is what we do with God as well. This is what we do with the Heavenly Father. Children of disobedience. But praise God, again, here, the Lord says, this is what you were. The Lord Jesus Christ has changed that. Now, the next thing I want us to speak of and think about is depravity of those who are spiritually dead. The spiritual dead, the scripture says here, are depraved. And we read something earlier on this morning of that man who was lame as well. He could do nothing for himself. All he was doing is taking from people. That's all he was doing. His life was not a useful life. His life was a useless life, we could say. There's nothing that he could do. And here in verse 3 we read these words. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When we speak about depravity, it is to do with corruption, it's to do with wickedness, it's to do with being out of the way. It is to do with the fact of not being able to do something which is right. And there can be no question that we can see these things in this world around us. What we are listed here, we have been given here in these words, we can see the influences of it, the way people are. And the scripture says this is what those who are dead in trespasses and sins, this is their character, among whom also we all had our conversation. Again, it's a manner of life. It's the day-to-day life in time past. In what? In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And when we think about and speak about being depraved, we are not saying that we are as bad as we could be. And this is the problem, isn't it, with so many people. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said to me, well, but I am not as bad as other people. I know of others. And I said, well, we can always find somebody worse than us. We don't mean that. But it does imply that all people are sinners. And as such, they are capable of committing the vilest of sins, having vilest of thoughts. They may not act upon it, but it is in their mind. And the Lord sees all of that. It doesn't mean that that lost people and unconverted people cannot do good deeds, because we know that they do in a worldly sense, in a natural sense. It doesn't mean that they cannot naturally love somebody or do some favors and good things towards other people and care for other people. Of course, that is not what we are saying. But it is, we are talking about spiritual things. Moving towards heaven, worshiping God, knowing the Lord. These are the things that we are talking about. And so here we are told this, that the dead person, which is like the word here, the dead in verse 1, and then following verses is talking about this. It's a word for corpse, a dead body that is rotting away, putrefying in the sun. It is a picture of this ongoing, ever worsening corruption. And again, as you think about these things, you follow on the next words and next verses, and the Lord is saying, this is our condition. This is, we are unable to serve the Lord. We are unable to know the Lord. We are unable to move away from these things by ourselves. But God is rich in mercy. And Jesus Christ changes a person who is unable to do any of these things for himself, but the very opposite of what God commands us. And he says, the Lord Jesus Christ changes that individual. Don't you want to be changed, my friends? Don't you want to be a different man, different woman, different boy, different girl, and say, I don't want to carry on in this life. This makes sense to me. And what is that? It says here, again, part of the character of a person who is dead is lust of our flesh. That refers to the natural desires that drives the body and the mind. The desires of the flesh and of the mind. It speaks of the natural appetites that characterizes our lives. It speaks there about the lust of the flesh. And again, that is speaking about strong desires and inclinations of every kind. It's not simply about immoral thoughts and actions. It's about all kinds of sinful desires. All kinds of fleshly pulls that the world pulls us towards it. And then speaks about the fulfilling the desires of the flesh. What does that mean? It refers to the strong willfulness. And you might point to a child and say, that's a willful child. That's a strong-minded child. Well, that's the kind of language that is used here. Strong willfulness. This is what these desires are. Seeking something with diligence. If they set their mind on it, that's what it is. And here the scripture is saying basically mankind is selfish, thinks only of himself, not much thought about God. What is your life for? Is it for yourself? Is it for your family? Or in the center of your heart is one that as long as I live, I will praise thy name. As long as I live, I'll live to walk, not after this world, but after the Lord. That's what my heartbeat is for. And so then you can see here that this depravity leads not just to depravity of the mind and the desires, but also the actions. It speaks about the conversation in the lust of our flesh. That word conversation, I've already said that it is one's walk. It's a common manner of life. And the unconverted, those who are still walking dead, spiritually speaking, they live like the way they do because of the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Their heart is still dead. And the flesh here is a reference to the fallen nature that is selfish and self-centered. And then there's the mind that is mentioned, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That, again, the mindset of an individual. So here it is. And you ask yourself, why is the world like this? Why people do the way they do? It goes back to the state. What spiritual state are they in? The scripture here is saying the state that Christians used to be in was like this. This is the catalog of their character here. But the Lord Jesus Christ has changed them. And so if you can mirror these things in your own life, and you're shocked at times when you look back in your life and you ask yourself, why did I do that? That was wicked. If someone else did the same to me, I would be so unhappy and so grieved and so hurt. And you say that this morning to yourself, this is true. But I say to you, don't stop there. Don't remain there. As I have been saying to you all along, but God who is rich in mercy, it says here. God is merciful to those who admit to these things and cry to God, Lord, have mercy upon me. Pity me, O God. I have found myself that this is what I am like. And Lord, have mercy. And the Lord Jesus Christ hears such a cry. He hears a sigh. Maybe you can't even articulate your words. You can't even put words to your cries. And you make a sigh inwardly. Lord, is there any hope? Without the Lord, it says here that we were once without hope. Without God in this world. But again, it's all in past tense. This is what they were. But the Lord Jesus Christ changed all of that. He is our hope, the scripture says. He is our hope. So my friends, as you think on these things this morning, let your mind and your heart be fixed on the fact that yes, without the Lord, this is the catalog of our lives. This is the character of a person who is walking dead. But we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Lord, we are doomed. Without the Lord, it speaks of the wrath, the children of wrath, even as others. This is what will await sinners. This is what awaits those. They will have to give an account of themselves to God. And what will they say to God? How will they open their mouth? The scripture says that they are without excuse and they will not be able to say a word. Every mouth will be stopped. So there is this matter, my friends. It's a fearful thing. But the Lord says this to us, as I said right at the beginning, very blunt truths. And it may go deep. He may cut. The Word of God is described as a sharp, two-edged sword. It goes deep, but at the same time it says that it is like water. Water that cleanses and washes. It is like bread from heaven that nourishes the soul. And it leads us to Jesus Christ. And that's what I've aimed to do all along. The state of mankind is very miserable. It is very sad. It is very dark indeed. But God in this dark world has sent His light. Jesus Christ. He says, I am the light of the world. And that's what is described here in some other words. Now, what will you say? What is your response about these things? What the Lord says to you this morning is this. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What is your response to that? Does it find you, this passage finds you lost and trapped at a dead end in your sins? Has the Lord revealed these things to you? But I hope He's also shown you there's a way out. There's a way that God has made in all the hopeless situations. There's a back door, and Christ is there. It is not a dead end life. It's a life of purpose. God didn't make us to be like this, but He sent His Son Jesus Christ to show us a way of escape in Jesus Christ. And so you might find yourself in this. So cry to God today. And then you might find yourself, so these are all true of me in the past, but God has saved me, redeemed me by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, does this fill your heart with praise and thanksgiving? That by grace I am saved. I've come to know the Lord. Now I must live for Him. I must praise Him. I must live a life that pleases Him. A life that is a changed life. A life that is witnessing of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This also should burden us when we think of our children, when we think of grandchildren, when we think about our neighbors, our colleagues, people that we see in the world, and we think they're walking in this course of the world. What shall we do? Well, the very thing that the Apostle Paul did, to go and preach to the Ephesians, to the Gentiles, to the Jews. And that is a great privilege if you're a child of God that you have. What a message we have today. Oh, it begins with describing the illness, but then it must end with the hope and the mercy of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord bless every one of us through what we have heard. Amen.